Maybe the little jolt of electricity. You know, they think that because the body has electricity, the electricity makes it alive. Thou fool. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Look at yourselves. I'm coming. You better examine yourselves before I get there, lest I examine you. Prove your own selves. Don't you know your own self? Christ is in you, unless you be reprobates. Are you a reprobate? Don't you know? What, do you gotta have me come and examine you? Because I'm going to. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. There are some reprobates among the Corinthians, no doubt. I mean, from the character of this letter, you can tell. There's some wickedness going on there. Some guys. We're apostles too. Paul didn't take money because, well, he's not very much of an apostle. But I need your money. Because I have great works I want to do in the name of God. I pray to God that you do no evil. Don't do evil. I mean, think about the assumptions Paul makes. He doesn't have to tell them, look, it's not just imputed, it's also you have to do it. No, he doesn't have to tell them that, because it's like, it is righteousness and holiness is something that runs through the scriptures, and it is the lost truth of the simplicity in Christ that is so, people's minds are so blinded to these days. It is so removed from their sight that when you tell it to them, it is like, they get angry. They get upset. They don't like you. We need to be right. We need to act right. We need to do no evil. We need to walk uprightly in godliness. You got to be righteous. I don't have to be righteous. It's almost blasphemous to say that. Even as the words come out of my mouth, when I say, you have to be righteous. No. Yes. Now, you don't have to be righteous for God to give his grace to you. God gives you his grace so that you can become righteous. The grace of God brings these things to us. It's wonderful. It's a gift. It's a promise. It's not like a burden. Except to those for whom it be burdensome. Except to those who really don't want it. Except, you know, to me it's like, you know, like somebody who really wants to climb Mount Everest, right? It's exciting. They want to climb Mount Everest. And let's say you give them a ticket to Nepal or wherever, you know, wherever you're going to go to climb it, right? And a tour guide, all expenses paid, right? They're going to take you to the top. And you want to go. And you're physically able, right? We're not going to allow for any infirmity of the flesh here. God could, you know, if you had no legs, God could help you to the top of the mountain, but humans would have trouble. But if you want to go, that's awesome. But let's say you don't want to go. You know, let's say you just want to, you know, you don't, you're like happy for, you want to just go to, you want it to be, I mean, you kind of want to go, but you don't want to climb the mountain, you know. You just want to be at the top. You know, you think the ticket that takes you to the country is sufficient to take you to the top, and it is. Because the whole thing is all expenses. But you understand, though, you are getting not just the ticket to the country, and then to look at, sit at the bottom of the mountain and say, well, when I die, would you please drag my corpse to the top of the mountain and maybe perch it on the pinnacle of Everest? No, you are to climb with the guide, with all the help that money can buy, and they will get you to the top. But you have to go with. You have to be there. You have to do the works. But it's all been paid for. It's all been accounted for. You can absolutely do it unless you want to quit. If you don't want to go, you won't go. You know, if you don't want to be righteous, you'll never be righteous. If you don't want to believe the promises of God, you will never obtain them. I can promise you that. You know, the grace of God provides all things sufficient and necessary for us. You know, I mean, look at this. I used an analogy, and I hope I don't generally like analogies because they can be confusing. 2 Peter 1, once again, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. He's called us to go to the top. Glory and virtue. He's given us all things pertaining to it. Everything we need. All provided for. It's all there. We are supposed to go through it all. We are supposed to actually participate in not doing evil. You can't say, I believe in Jesus, and then just participate in evil. Because the two things don't mix. Whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And you will not live forever if you serve sin. Now you may have been a servant of sin, but now are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And to you I implore, continue in the faith, grow in the faith, increase in the faith, go from faith to faith, not from unrighteousness to unrighteousness. Don't be a reprobate. You know what a reprobate is? It means unapproved, rejected. It means God is the grace of God, and this is the thing: election and reprobation. They are on one hand and the other. Reprobation is God's rejection. Election is selection. You've got to be selected or rejected. There are two things: God either selects you or He rejects you. You don't select or reject Him. God is not your elect. You are His elect. He has chosen you to do His will. You are not choosing Him to do yours. I choose you as my God to be my genie and grant my every wish. I need a car. I need some clothes. I'm not fed enough. I want a baby. My sister lost her pearls. Lord, help us find her pearls.